Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Morning.
You know, God is moving by His Spirit. I love these classes.
Yes.
We get so much information.
We should have 1,000 people here, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, you know, the good thing is we're putting them on the website, and people all over the world can listen to
them. Amen.
And you know, we're going to see great moves of God, just like they did. It all starts with somebody taking a stand in faith. You know, now I'm still in chapter 4. I'm going to get out of 4 today. You know about the lame man. He was healed at the beautiful gate temple. And all right, I'm going to start at verse 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ.
Exactly right.
For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
Praise the Lord.
By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Mm-hmm. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness."
Amen. That's power. You know, when you was reading that verse up here, you know, all the kings gathered together against his Christ.
Yeah.
Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, is going through an extreme battle right now. That if you mention Jesus in any public schools or anything like that, they suspend you. But yet they take the students to the mosques and make them pray to Allah and also recite the prayer every morning. Okay? But their senators is trying to make the Bible the state book.
Yeah.
There's a big battle going on right there because mm-hmm. the government doesn't want, it's still happening today.
Yeah.
The kings don't want Jesus. Mm-hmm. No.
Well, see, Satan's, anybody filled with Satan's ways, that's how they act.
Yes, that's
you know,
truth.
And it's not people as much as the spirit behind the people.
Come on now, that's exactly right.
And that's why we have to take
that
authority.
So
we can't be lazy with authority. We got to take authority.
Come on.
We have to take authority. And we have to, with that, we have to do what God called us to do. And in the presence of God, we have to walk in his wisdom. If I stop doing what God called me to do, the specifics of what he tell me to do, there's going to be a void. And the enemy will have an unnecessary advantage.
Jesus.
And I won't let that happen now that I know better. Now, when the Lord first called me called me to the ministry, I didn't know what he had in store for me. And I asked him way back then, the first night he called me, I got up out the bed and I had a dream and I woke up and I said, Lord, what? I knew he was in the room. I said, what is it? He said, behold, you are my child. I have chosen you and you should be a vessel of honor. I got up, went in the living room and started praying. I said, Lord, what kind of minister am I going to be? What am I going to do? How am I going to do it? Where am I going? I wanted to know. He said two words. He said, follow me.
Amen.
Whoa. I got up, got right back in the bed and went back to sleep.
Praise the Lord.
Because it had to be revealed. And the Lord did it systematically. I would have, some things I know I wouldn't have done, but I made this vow. I said, Lord, I'm going to obey you whatever you say. And when I said that, when he started giving me things to do, I made it happen. And I never knew how important it was. The revelation came later. So now I'm very strict about doing exactly what he say, because that don't need to be a void. And we're going to have to use our authority. But when we do, this is what happens. the Holy Spirit do something that he puts his seal of approval on. It's in verse 31, it says, and when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together.
Well, that'd be awesome to have the ground shake when you pray, buddy.
Yeah. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Look at what had happened. Peter and John was looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith, and they went about doing the works of Jesus. They took a stand. They didn't take their eyes off Jesus when the miracle happened.
Whoa.
And they kept, and they caused the people to realize it was Jesus, the one that they persecuted. Then when they got in trouble for it, they were steadfast and unmovable. They still wouldn't take their eyes off Jesus. And then when they told their own company, they were in agreement. They had foundation. They were looking unto Jesus. This is what the Lord can put his seal of approval on. And when that happens, miracles happen. A lot of miracles don't happen because people are not strong enough to be this way. They're able to work the miracles, but when the challenge comes, they buckle. And the word of God gives us the strength to stand no matter what.
Amen.
Now look at this. Kenneth Hagin talked about when people are in the presence of God, I remember reading one time where he wouldn't take up an offering because they're excited about the Lord. In all cases, we still have to use wisdom in what we do. Now, Brother Horton pointed out in that verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which they possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Mm-hmm. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. Now this looks good, but Brother Horton pointed out, if you give away, if you sell your land, which is your livelihood,
yeah,
or your business,
yeah,
and give all the money away,
yeah,
now you don't have the power to get wealth.
And that's right.
And in the presence of God, mm-hmm, we still require to apply the wisdom of the Proverbs.
Yes.
The wisdom, yes, of Jesus.
Glory to God, preach that right. There.
Yeah.
That'll preach, brother.
And you know, I know what it's like to be in God's presence. Mm-hmm. You feel euphoric. You feel like you can do anything, and you,
yes,
can.
Yes.
But you still have to use the wisdom that God gave you.
Yes, praise God. That's the truth.
Yeah. Now, when I first found out about tithing, I didn't want to give 10%. I wanted to give 90% and keep 10, but you can't do that.
You got to work up to that, brother.
Yeah.
Just
take
it serious about money. I've known people to do it.
Yeah, tell about that.
I don't know exactly who can help me. It was his farm.
Yeah.
He was tithing on things he needed to be putting back in his business.
Yeah.
Like if he got his crops or something, mm-hmm, like that. And the Lord, he was not making ends meet. The Lord told,
yeah,
him, you don't need to be tithing on that livelihood that needs to be going back in your farm.
Right.
Is that kind of right? It's been a long,
that's, time, right, because I did the same thing. And I remember Mary saying that a while back. And, you know, if you don't do it right, it's not going to work. If you do it correct, it's going to work good.
They say that, I've heard this about J.C. Penney, that when he started out tithing, and then he started out giving more than 10%, and finally he started giving 90%.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, he was giving 90% and living off of the 10%.
Yeah.
But he was extremely wealthy, and he got wealthy by through his giving.
Yeah.
But he didn't do that just... Jump! He didn't.
You
didn't start there.
Start that.
No, he worked up to that.
Yeah, you can. You can work.
That's right. He used wisdom. Yes.
Same thing, yeah, with the guy, you know, that did the earth movers.
Yeah. That's true.
But
you're right about
that. He was tithing 90%.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yes, I won't do that. But You have to work up to it.
You work up to that, yes.
And without the wisdom of God, you can't.
It's like faith. That's right, faith.
Right, 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 right. Your faith has to grow. You mm-hmm. grow in faith and wisdom.
That bulldog faith.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the bulldog faith. Yes.
Yeah. And understand, it's not a lot of people that will do this, that will follow God like this. I believe it's increasing, but if you don't, the Lord taught me these things. If you don't have a leader that will do it, the people will do what the leader do. And people that are capable of doing these things, they'll stop short looking at the leader. So somebody's got to follow God like Peter and John did. And remain steadfast in following him, because it sounds simple when you say follow God. Well, I do the word, I go to church, I do this and I do that. But when you're in his presence and you receive the details, he show you how to make the necessary changes, and they're very small, but they do great things over time. Because the Lord, the conversations that the Lord gave me to help me to do what I have to do, he would show me the needs of the people, why things go the way they do. And as a child, I was born with that. I used to lay my head on the desk and listen to what everybody was saying, because I wanted to understand what people did. And I also wanted to know, how did things get to this point? And I used to ask my mother all kind of questions. And when I wear her out, I'd go find my sister and ask her all these questions. And then when they wasn't around, I'd wait on Miss Fowler to come out the house and so to hang up her clothes to dry. And then I'd go ask her all my questions. And I'd be looking out the window for her to come out, and she'd be looking out the window to see if I was out there. At my mom's funeral, I told her about it. She said, yeah, I used to be looking to see if you was going to come outside. Because she didn't want to answer no question. But that's something that God put in me.
Now you go to the right source, don't you? You ask God.
Yeah. And sometimes all people have to do is get saved, and because what God started in them is going to develop.
Amen.
But when... It's easy to get off track. It's easy. They got off on a tangent. And Brother Horton pointed that out. I didn't see it that way till he pointed it out, and it's accurate. They ended up needing other churches to help them get back to where they were.
Yes, they did.
You know, the grace of God, God knew that they would make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's easy to make them. Don't feel bad about mistakes. It's easy to make them.
That's true.
But the faster you get in God's presence and let it and study his word, let him open it up to you, he can reduce those mistakes.
Yes, yes.
And you still might make some. But when you make them, you know, I'm reminded of Sid. He was building a hot rod, and he had to put bearings in his crank. The way he did it was the hard way, and his daddy saw him do it, but he didn't tell him the easy way. He waited till he finished. Then he told him the easy way. He said, how come you didn't tell me that before? He said, because now you'll never forget it. And he don't. He remembers. He knows the hard way and he knows the easy way. And sometimes we have to, you know, I said, Lord, know the easy way to this. Mm-hmm. And I try to get in his presence because I want to make good use of time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fool around making mistakes. I want to get right to the point. And if the enemy pulls something on me, you know, years ago, I wanted to get to the foundation bottom of it so I could fix it and never have to deal with that problem again. And the Holy Spirit can give us that kind of wisdom.
Yes, praise the Lord.
When your attention is on him. And I learned the hard, you know, I had a truck. It would drive a mile or two and cut off. I rebuilt the carburetor, distributor, tuned it up, everything I could think of. Nothing worked. I went and prayed. I said, Lord, what's the problem? He said, check your fuel line. I changed the rubber hose, checked the fuel line. It didn't work. I said, I thought I must have missed God. And then I thought about it. I didn't look down in the tank. I took the cap off the tank. The tank was behind the seat in that truck. And I saw rust on the top of the metal fuel line before it came out of the tank. Mm-hmm. I said, that's the problem. I put a new line in there, truck did fine. It was air was compressing in the carburetor and wouldn't let it take gas. And when the air bleed out, then it would take gas, I could drive another mile. The Holy Spirit can show us how to do these things.
Oh, yes.
Yes, he can.
He'll tell you things that about natural things. Jesus said that he'll guide us into all truth.
That's all truth. I mean, all truth.
All
that's
truth.
Right.
That's why years ago I used to ask him about other planets and his creation. And people would think you weird if you asked the Lord something like that. But in the first stages of me asking him those kind of things, he said, it honors me that you asked me about my creation. And not only that, he showed me things.
That's good.
But the Lord loves us, and everything what's important to you is important to him.
Amen.
So they continued, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as was possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. Now Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, we finally made it to chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession.
Brother Thurston, can I ask you to find a stopping point?
Yeah, we'll do it.
I didn't get into that. Find a stopping point because it's late.
Okay. Now, in chapter 5, next week we'll see how the Lord set order. And when we still have to operate according to the Holy Spirit, whether we're in his presence and know it, or when we don't realize we're in his presence. We're always in his presence. But when we're in worship, we realize we're in his presence. And you feel his presence, you feel like you can do anything. But you still have to apply the wisdom of God. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you, it's going to be perfect. That's the best knowledge you can receive. When he teaches you one-on-one, he knows you. He knows you in many ways. He knows what he put in you. He knows how to revive what he put in you. He knows how you think right now. He knows what you can receive. With the Holy Spirit, you have to remain in faith. Faith is his language. When you're in faith to him and you open your heart to his wisdom, then he can talk. But when a person do like this, he stops. He's a gentleman. I'm going to close with this. The Lord will give me all kind of revelation. And if he would send me to ministry. If I was around a person that was receptive, more would come. If they really didn't want it, even if they asked me a question, everything would just stop. And it's like I had no knowledge on that topic. Nothing would come up for me to speak. I could say nothing but follow God. I said, Lord, why is I thought the devil did something. I said, how did he do that? What did he do? But it wasn't Satan. The Holy Spirit was responding to that person. If they're receptive, I can be around certain people, and I know it's going to be a revival. I got a customer, when he come around and we have time to talk, we have revival.
Amen.
Right there in the yard while I'm working on this car. But if a person does like this, and they really don't want to hear it, the Lord stops. So as long as we are receptive in faith, the Holy Spirit can speak. That still small voice speaks. And he can make things plain. He can reveal the hidden wisdom of God. Satan is always trying to hide the knowledge of God from all of us. He hates us.
That's the truth.
But the Holy Spirit, things have to be in place for us to receive it. So the Lord will help us to get things in place so we can receive it. Studying the Word, a healthy habit of studying the Word. You can read it, forget about it, and when you're at peace, the Holy Spirit will bring it right back. He might wake you up in the middle of the night and start talking. I love when he do that. He gave me a book one night. He talked to me for a couple of hours. And I didn't go to bed early. I went to bed late. Then he woke me up, talked to me a couple of hours. I went to sleep for a couple of hours. And when I woke up, it was like I had an 8 or 9 hour sleep. I woke up refreshed. So being receptive to the Holy Spirit is the key. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all that you're doing. Bless all of your people to hear you,
yes.
To enjoy the relationship with you. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.